I can answer now?
Yes.
Something will have to be wrong with my head. Not to understand that the government is going to lay out a cause for what they are doing. Something will have to be wrong in my head not to believe that they're going to do that.
But you have to prove that they did it without caring. That's what you have to do.
Why did I show it to you?
You have said what they have done. They have countered all of this by saying why they have had to do it. Now you have to prove conclusively that they did it because they did not care.
But I just mentioned three things to you.
Yeah, but that does not mean that they did not care.
Listen to me. Let me show you then.
What the government has said in response to all of this is that it was forced to do this because of the circumstances.
You were expecting to say something different?
Well, you got to prove. You have to be able to prove. You have to prove motive.
The point is to get you to swallow it.
No, you have to. Well, you will never swallow it because you spend. You will never swallow it because you spend a lot of time trying to attack the government over time.
Let me show you this. Let me show you this. If you care about the poor, are you sure that interest?
What was your alternative?
You see, when you come back with the same thing again?
Yeah, because you never answered that question.
Well, let me put it to you then. Would you cut off a man's head and then come and ask somebody what you would do to prevent your head from getting cut off?
But you know that the analogy
would you do that?
Is not to cut off a man's head.
Well, thank you.
The analogy used by the government is that if your foot, if gangrene has set in, may have to lose your foot. You are equating all that is happening in Barbados to decapitating the man. You're killing the man. That's basically what you're saying.
Correct.
So Barbados is in a situation where you can logically say that Barbadians are being killed by these measures?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
The poor.
The poor are being killed by the... Who you know dead because of it?
Let me show you something, Mr. Ellis.
Who you know died because of it?
Now, let me show you something.
Because I'm saying to you that following the path that you are taking, you know, it is one thing to get involved in rhetoric, and emotional rhetoric is easy for a lot of people to be involved to get involved in it. However, whatever you say has to be supported, and you are talking about motive. You are saying that measures have been inflicted without caring. The government says we know that it is going to hurt, and that is why we have had to put measures in place to cushion the impact on the poorest of the people in this country. Are you supported in your allegation that they do not care when they say that?
Listen, what measure you put in place to feed the poor? Let me hear it. Give me it.
Well, there is effectively... Well, I tell you what the government say, and I am not speaking on behalf of the government. I'm saying to you that in the public discourse, this is the information that runs counter to your allegation that they are uncaring because they have spoken to these issues.
Ms. Ellis, let me show you something here. And I'm going to point a fact to you because in your tongue with that. You say, you say the government say they care. Explain to me then, if they say they care about our economic situation and the poor, why have you and I have not heard a single word about an effort in place to collect the taxpayer poor and poor people money that they still have in their account, I believe? Explain that to me.
I missed that because I was reading something.
Let me show you this. You will go after I want to call it distance in franchise people, because when you say that whether they accept the terms or not, those who buy bonds, whether they accept it or not, it is that. You will go after them and you will put that in place and say whether they accept. But yet, you have not made a single effort. The rich who have taken what should be paid into, not a word about that. And you will tell me, and they take, and they will take people's national insurance money. I'm not a saint. And you will tell me you care about the poor.
So the treasury,
you would allow this to happen.
The treasury bonds and the treasury bills.
You can't be serious.
Let me ask you something. the treasury bonds and the treasury bills, they won't touch the better off in this country, including the rich who have invested in those things. Not the bonds, but in the treasury bills, the treasury notes, and the debentures. Won't they be impacted by that?
You know something? I'm very concerned about people that we will call better off. Listen, are you aware, Mr. Ellis, that if you or one of your children had to take state in
your checkbook... Sir, I am asking you, you divert away from questions that are put to you.
I have asked you a question,
a direct question. You say that only the poor are impacted. I am saying to you that I've heard people who have invested $500,000 and more in government paper complain about their own situation. Are you saying that those people were lying?
Ms. Ellis, I'm not saying that they were lying. You would tend to want to push me in the direction that you want me to go in, but you're not letting me...
No, because I have to give you, for every allegation that you make, I have to put you in a position to confront the alternative view.
But here it is. Now, okay, but if you want me to go there, I can go there with you.
We ain't got much more time because we spent a fair amount of time with you already anyhow.
Here it is. So are you saying if people like that who would have had that investment, that there's nothing wrong with pulling it apart and disadvantaging them? Are you saying that?
I'm clear about where I'm going with it. You say only the poor and disadvantaged are touched. I say to you that in that respect, that's not so.
Now you want
to open up a completely different argument now.
No. Listen, I did not say disadvantage. I said disenfranchised.
Same thing.
That's the word I used.
Same thing.
Let me show you why they're disenfranchised.
Same thing. Look, no, sir. Please. You were here before the news. And in all fairness, as much as I enjoy talking with you, I think I still have to be sensitive to the fact that there are several other people here who want to make a contribution. They may support you, or they may go against what you have put on the table. All right? Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much. Now, I'm carrying on from what the last caller, where the last caller left off.
Yes.
The former administration, the current administration, always pointed fingers at the last administration and said they were uncaring and lacked empathy because they said at the time that we were pauperizing the population of Barbados by the taxes that were being put on them. What have they done since May the 24th, Mr. Ellis?
They impose more taxes.
Absolutely.
Towards what end, though?
And they are claiming now that the measures they're taking, they have to take these severe measures because we did not take them in a timely manner.
Yes, that's what they're saying.
So they are, of course, accusing us of not savaging and decimating and pauperizing the Barbadian public, and we left it for them to do it.
That's your editorial comment. However, let me say to you that to get a proper assessment of all that has happened, I think it is important to look at the tax measures that have been introduced over the previous 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Between 2008 and 2018,
mm-hmm.
we need to look at those things because, don't forget, allowances were taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that pensioners complained that they had worked their lives and paid taxes, and then their pensions get taxed.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Uh-huh.
So you have this long list of things that mm-hmm. people complained about then. And now you have the additional taxation. You have
right. You
have that period where we were told, hold strain, walk with us, you people come out of this. But towards the end, you felt as though not enough had been achieved. This government comes and says the first thing that we are going to do is that we're going to go to the International Monetary Fund. And because we've gone to the fund, we have to take these measures because our foreign reserves were dwindling. And in those circumstances, we don't want the dollar devalued, so we had to move.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is the justification that I'm hearing for the action. How do you respond?
So the measures that were being taken by the last administration, they were taking those measures because They were stark raving madmen that wanted to inflict pain on the suffering barbarians.
I wouldn't say that.
The administration was, of course, implemented those measures to do exactly what this current administration.
Would you accept that those measures did not work?
So these ones going to work?
Well, you don't know. Remember that we had homegrown programs before. And at the end of it, each program seemed to have been adjusted here and there. But at the end of the day, the homegrown programs didn't work. Maybe part of the problem is that the draconian steps that were required were not taken because of the fear of the fallout. But in due course, you and I will have an opportunity also to judge and to measure what is coming out of these policies by the new administration.
So the last administration, Mr. Ellis, is to be put in the dock and be accused of not being as savage as this administration.
Well, I didn't say as savage.
But they are savage.
I am not getting involved. I'm not involved in the emotive language that you all are coming at me with today. Savage and vindictive and things like that. I'm not party to that discussion.
Yeah, but you can remain straddling defense. That is your business.
That's my business. That's correct.
You could lose your testicles, though, so be careful.
Well, you know, a man like you telling me about that sort of thing, boy, you get scared, yeah?
Be careful. Anyway, the point remains that there are more savage on the people of Barbados. In the last administration, they were trying a few things. Let me say to you,
look, at the end of the day, we got to deal with the reality of where we are as a country and what are the options available to us. If we get involved in hysteria and get involved in a process of trying to vilify people and that sort of thing on the basis of what is happening here, what do we hope to achieve by this? At the end of it, we need to be working together as one. I understand your concerns about the criticisms of the last administration, but the people of Barbados have spoken.
Mr. Ellis, this is such a noble new stance. I didn't hear the stance being espoused.
Because you don't listen well. Depending upon what the argument is, you don't hear.
No. All of this patriotism. The Barbados Labour Party did not practice any patriotism between 2008.
But if they did, you wouldn't see it nor hear it.
They went all across the length and breadth of Barbados from Bathsheba to Bridgetown.
Let me ask you something before we go into the news now.
The Democratic Labour Party.
We're going into the news now. But let me ask you, since we last spoke, and we had such a wonderful time with your telling me who you were or what you are, what kind of reaction you had?
But I don't understand why you consistently want to follow some. You live in the backyard of Mayor Motley, don't you?
The backyard?
Yes.
I tell you, front yard.
Front yard, maybe then.
And what does that mean?
I'm not asking anything about you. What you want to know so much about me for?
Man, I asked you what reaction you got and asking for no more information about you.
I don't call to provide levity or any jocularity, you know. So I don't try to...
But I will tell you, when you call, make sure that you come with something of strength and value, because merely coming and making general accusations about the motives and that sort of thing might not help as much. I mean, I want to help you help me. Together we can make the program stronger that way. But I welcome your call and thank you very much for participating in the program and look forward to hearing you sometime next week as well. Down to brass tacks, going on to 1:30. Do we have a caller on the line? Welcome to the program. 4341790, that's the number for you to call. This person says that the water tax would have been better if persons with one bathroom paid a dollar, people with three bathrooms paid $1.50, and those with four or more, $2. They think that this would have been a better approach to dealing with it. Hello? You're on the air. Welcome to the program. I think a number of callers were backed up, and perhaps they might have had to wait so long that some of them dropped out. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, David.
Yes, you're on the air.
Now, what I'm about to say might sound comical, right? But I am very serious. There are lots of ways that we can come out of this situation that we're in.
Hello? It seems as though there's some cross line here now. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Let me apologize to the last caller because it seems as though his call dropped out. Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, a very pleasant afternoon to you, Miss Alice.
Yeah, same to you.
Okay. I would like to suggest that at some point in time that this program is dedicated to people calling in about finding ways and means to effectively chart a way forward for this country to economically ascend out of the
But you don't think
situation.
That people have ample opportunity to do that every day?
But I don't think that really and truly how the program is structured that is really facilitating that.
Well, I really believe that the day that we took the program in the direction that you want us to take it will be one of the most boring programs ever. Because you need to take the cut and thrust, and out of that, you pull out the suggestions. But if you can dedicate a whole day, I bet you that if we did a whole day dedicated to that between 10 o'clock and 1:30, you'd be surprised at how dead this program would be.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Ellis. I don't mean the entire program, but what I'm saying, like how you had, okay, a segment where the first hour was being dedicated to a particular subject matter, and you had panelists and so on as well, and then you go on to the normal setting. I think that is appropriate.
Well, there's always another way of doing it, and I am not going to dismiss that particular notion, but, you know, it is all well and good to talk, but on any given day, I could sit down and determine, oh, well, this is what we need to talk about today. But you know what? Something out there floating about on social media or something else that other people have a view on, and they believe that you set the agenda. We set the agenda once in a while. But most of the time, the program's success is driven by the fact that the people out there set this agenda. The day that my experience suggests that the day that we try to set the agenda too much for the people of this country, that's the day that we are going to lose a lot of our currency. But there's a way in which, within all of the cut and thrust, you still get ideas. Look, listen to the woman who called the first caller today. Other people have written in and said, well, we think that we should do this, we should do that. And that is the way to get the ideas as well. Not to say today is positive notion day or something like that, and then, you know, you fall flat on your face. You got to give people a chance to express themselves.
Okay, Ms. Ellis, I appreciate and respect that there are other people behind me that want to get in, and I believe, too, in allowing the program to have a continuity as much people getting in that time frame. What do you really want to talk about, like, for instance, in Nigeria? You know what is the most recent thing that has happened in Nigeria in the last 3 weeks?
Tell me.
The taxis, more or less, now are being replaced now by electric cars. One taxi owner said it's saving him $7,200 in his unit currency from not using fuel. So it has impacted on his profit margin in a very significant way. I'm saying I would like to really see situations whereby we talk about the transport board deploying electrical vehicles on the flat routes. I would like to see situations with the Sanitation Service Authority. Or let me give an example here. There's an inter-Zimbabwe that have 5 buses, and they do a shuttle service. And you know, 3 years ago, when they investigated what their fuel bill was like, their fuel bill was averaging $26,000 per month. That is their fuel bill. I would like to know what the fuel bill for the Sanitation Service Authority is. And I'm saying we should look at ways and means where that bill can come down, and you have more money coming in where the government more or less can dispense it into other crucial areas. I want to sum up on this point. What is someone on this point? I would like Barbadians to really sit down and listen to the world news. Right now, we have thousands of people leaving their country, Honduras. coming through Guatemala. Some people in Guatemala join that bandwagon. They're coming through Mexico to get to the U.S. There are 8 million people in Yemen that are on the brink of famine as well, too. When we look at all the weather systems and all the different things that are happening around the world, let us give thanks and count the blessings we have and not dwell on the challenges, more or less, that we may be going through. And finally, you know what's happening in this country? It reminds me a lot like the Israelites. You know, Moses brought them out of the tyranny of the Egyptians, okay? The Red Sea was parted. They crossed the Red Sea. They're starting to enter Promised Land. The Red Sea closed back on the enemy that was coming to kill them. And, you know, world's in transition now to a new territory away from all the tyranny to start the grumble, more or less, to Moses. What have you brought us into? And that is all I would like to say for now. There's some other things I would like to say, but I would let the program go on. And thank you very much for entertaining me as well at this point in time. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. Let me say to you, though, that on this question of renewable energy, I want to suggest that since the change of government, we are yet to hear some definitive and clear positions on what is happening in that particular sector. Indeed, one source tells me that there is some indecision by the new government surrounding the direction of the renewable energy sector. And I'm suggesting to you that given what is happening with the price of oil in particular, and this situation that Barbados is in, it is necessary to hear more about that. The other sector that people are talking about, up to last night, somebody said to me that there's a need for discussions, is the agricultural sector. Not enough is being said about what is happening there. We have some critical decisions that clearly have to be made in agriculture. And it really will serve no useful purpose to sit down here and behave as though all is well as it relates to what we have been hearing. There needs to be a sense of cohesion, more of a comprehensive picture of what is emerging in the important agricultural sector. So I would identify those two areas as being badly in need of communication to the public of Barbados. We need to hear more. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was saying that what I'm about to say might sound comical to some, but that part don't bother me. There are ways and means we can get out of this before doing so much damage to this small man. One, let the British government pay the Governor General. After all, she's the Queen's representative. Two, get rid of the Senate. It serves no useful purpose as far as I'm concerned, because when laws are passed, they can talk for no to tomorrow. They're there to stay. All those in the public service who have reached retirement age and will not retire should be forced to retire. Get rid of all, if not all, of the boards. Got two. Get rid of at least 13 ministers. Now, this is the thing that got me. The last administration were criticized for having 17. And they agreed with these criticisms at the time. How come now in very dire situation, we are having 26? To me, that's an insult to the people of Barbados. I heard the Prime Minister say, we're referring to CBC, in this age of technology. The same principle can be applied to her ministers too. And I know these measures have to be taken, but a lot of people are being sacrificed. For instance, this last in, first out. You got people who have been coming to work for years and not producing. A man come in last, and at any day you can see what that person does. But yet when the time comes to make the sacrifice, he or she is the person who is being sacrificed. There's no way that can be fair.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Let's take another call. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I want to speak about the stretch of road between Normal Nerve and Frank Walker or Frank Hassel Kelly roundabout.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's not the Weeks roundabout, is it? But anyhow.
No. Okay, anyhow, you know what I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Ellis, from the time that stretch of road has been constructed, months afterwards, it was deteriorating. And I don't understand why MTWL allowed the construction firm to get away with it. And it gets to the stage now that if you had to travel on it, the amount of cracks that was in that stretch of road.
But that's part of that's one of the pieces that's now being fixed?
That is the same piece that is now being fixed. If you have to travel from the same normalized roundabout to Bassa, or from the same hustle tunnel roundabout going to Warren's, fine. It's only that stretch of road that has been deteriorating to the stage that has been fixed. And I don't understand why MTW allow the construction firm, whichever the firm that do it, to get away with it, and now we, the taxpayers, have to pay for getting it done. It is wrong. And MTW should come and let us know what's going on. It is only that stretch of road, Mr. Ellis, that has been deteriorated. Something was wrong in the construction of that piece of road.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Very well indeed. Now, Mr. Ellis, I must first give compliments to Mr. Kevin Greenidge for his long list of accomplishments. I know that he has his hands on the possibility of making Barbados a better place. His big problem is the human factor. I have not heard him talk much about the human factor. But that is what we will have to work at the fundamental level. I'm also hearing people talk about solar energy and the conservation of power. When the Lelawaro was the governor of the Central Bank, we had several lectures on energy and energy conservation and the utilization of solar energy and wind power. Well, I know that we do stick things on the roof and we talk about solar cars, but every time I hear about a solar car, I see a multimillionaire preparing to put the station up that will deliver the power. So you may move your money from gas or fuel, which is fossil, and then you will put your money into another power plant. The people who are putting that money in are the people who've got the money. They are the leaders. Credit unions should be looking at that just as well. I would say to you, Mr. Ellis, that in my age, they're talking about 13 years of holding the money up. Well, I am satisfied that about 75% of the money that were held up by these people over the last issue, they'll be dead. Most of them will not see a penny. That is not a good position to be in. That's an indictment. The other thing here, Mr. Ellis.
An indictment on whom?
On the persons who will have to live. Because they will not be able to survive. Rather, the cost of medicine is atrocious. Cost of health care is atrocious.
Are you sure that you're correct in describing it as an indictment on them? Is that what you really want to say?
No.
Or is it more of an indictment on the system? Which one is it? I need to clarify.
Well, I use the term in the system, the human factor. But on the other hand, the system has been so corrupt for so long that at my age, I lived in Canada for many, many years, and I spoke to Mr. Ben when he was up there, and I spoke to Mr. Campbell when he was up there, and they've been trying to do things like getting stuff to Barbados to help. But Mr. Ben and Campbell and the others up there would go out and search for beds, search for wheelchairs, and they couldn't get a person in Barbados to support the economic cost of getting the stuff down here. I worked through the Caribbean. I worked in St. Lucia, Dominica, Antigua in the medical industry, medical engineering. And I would see there in St. Lucia. They had a plant that was manufacturing wheelchairs, and they were doing it down there for a long time. In Barbados, there we claim so much for knowledge. I have not seen if small plant that was rebuilding wheelchairs, and that could be used. We have so many accidents on the road. That's a facility that could be put into Barbados and could work. The other thing here, Miss Ellis.
How many jobs do you think will be created by that?
You only need about 20 jobs.
Okay.
But out of that 20, you can export your knowledge base. Because people do, when you've been well trained, home is not your mailing address. Home is when you get on that plane and go to St. Lucia, Dominica, Antigua, and kind of do your work. Your paycheck will follow you. So you're not looking in situ at employment. You're looking at intelligence mobility, and you need to get around and do that.
Barbados does a fair amount of that already in the region, even though a lot of Barbadians don't appreciate that sometimes when you hear us speak. We do a fair amount of it, especially in the OECS.